We are starting our series on the God questions. Okay, the God questions. Does anybody need a Bible? If you do, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. We got a hand over here. Anybody over here need a Bible? Okay. For our visitors, this is a new worship center for us, so we're still trying to learn to adjust the hot and the cold. Personally, I think the problem is with you people, not with the system. We're trying to accommodate and adjust for that. How many first-time visitors do we have with us today? Raise your hand. Hey, man, awesome. Ushers, do we have a gift for them? Let's get them a gift. And then also, we got handouts that I forgot to make sure that they were handed out earlier. So we're going to just take the moment and hand them out now, okay? And so go ahead and hand out the, yes, those. Bill has them. Don't get used to the handouts for the outlines and so on and so forth, because I don't know how long I'll continue this. My wife got real excited. She goes, really, we're going to have an outline to follow? And I said, yes. And she goes, how long is that going to last? I have no clue. So, you know, it's one of those things, enjoy it while you have it, and because you don't know how long it will last, okay? Do we have everybody on this side has one? Hand them down the rows, Bill. Take care of your side, Bill. That side, no. All right. Who does not have the outline? I know this side's working on it. Everybody over here have one? Okay. All right. It's a good day today. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen,
amen again.
Amen.
Somebody give me a glory.
Glory.
Somebody give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm glad to see you're awake and listening. That is the good part about it. Okay. We're going to start out in Psalms today. So if you would turn to Psalm 19, and if you have a Bible we've handed to you, it would be page 225. Page 225 in our gift Bible to you. Psalm 19. The question we're going to cover today is God real? Because, you know, if God's not real, then we're just wasting our time, and we might as well go out and party like everybody else, right? We went to a restaurant one time. We were on our way back from North Carolina. We stopped in Pennsylvania, and it was my wife's birthday. We were traveling on her birthday, And I told the waitress, I said, you know, I got up and excused myself, went to the restroom and told the waitress, I said, it's my wife's birthday, and so, you know, can you hook her up with a dessert and everything? And she said, well, how old is she? And I said, she's 29. And so, you know, always go low, guys. Always go low. Of course, I didn't go real low. I just went, what, 2-3 years low? So, and so she went in, and after she was done, she goes, just party it up, girl. Party like you never partied before. And so if God's not real, we might as well just party like we've never partied before, right? But God is real. And we're going to listen to God and we're going to follow God. Let's look here in Psalm 19, not 21. Go to Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Verse 2. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. And so King David actually had written this psalm, and he's just talking about how everything points to God, that God is real. And when we look around, and as we go through this, and I have to stick to my notes, because if I don't, I'm not going to get everything said, and you won't get your outline filled out. And there's some of you that are just freaks about making sure every line is filled in. Every blank's got to be full, and if it's not, afterwards I hear about it. So I'll make sure I stay on track and we get that done. But as you look around and you process everything, you have to come to the conclusion that God is real. And you'd say, okay, well, I don't know if it's God. Okay, let's just come to the conclusion that we have a creator of the universe. Okay? And that we have been created. And if you don't want to call him God, that's fine. You'll get to God by the time I'm done. If not, then you're just in denial. And I'm just kidding. I'm picking on you. Whoever it is that may be sitting here. Because it's an amazing thing. As you talk to people, and you ask them, do you believe in God? Well, I don't believe there's a God. How did we get here? well, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. And I'm like, wow, how we were so incredibly designed. I mean, if you just look at the eyeball, just look at the eyeball and how it's designed and the refractions and everything and the lenses and how everything works that allows you to see. It's incredible. And to say that that just happened by chance is even more incredible. So as we're looking, and you know, sometimes we look around and we wonder. You know, you have questions. How many ever have questions about God, the universe, people, everything? Absolutely. And you know, I just want you to know that everybody wonders about God from time to time. Everybody wonders, and you can put that down, everybody wonders about God from time to time. So you're not, you know, you're not out of the ordinary. Everybody has questions. And as a matter of fact, when I get to heaven, there's a lot of questions I'm going to ask God. A whole lot of questions. Actually, not really, because I'll be too busy glorifying Him to think of anything stupid that I might want to say. So I don't know that I'm going to be asking Him a whole bunch of questions. All right, and then I want you to know that it's the nature of faith. To wonder is the nature of faith. Hebrews, and I have it down for you in your notes, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's what faith is. Listen, if everything was tangible and you could touch it and you could create it or recreate it or you could do whatever you want with it, it wouldn't be faith. Because it's in your face and it doesn't take much to believe what you see. Now, sometimes we look at things and we shake our head like, am I really seeing that? But faith, if you can see it, it doesn't require faith. And so, you know, the nature of faith is to wonder or to have questions. So I want you to see that we live on faith every day. Every day. When you came in here and you sat down, how many in their mind went, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me? Did anybody ask that question today when they come in before they sit down? Did you ask yourself, man, is that chair going to hold me or not? Anybody? No, you had the faith. You just believed. You exercised faith. Listen, faith comes from experience. Faith comes from knowledge. And so what happens is you've come in or you've went in places, you see the chairs are sitting there, it's public chairs, and nobody thinks that they're going to hold me. You just a figure is sitting there, and I'm just going to sit down on it. Because it's designed to hold me. And so therefore it's going to do its job. And so faith is like that. You put money in the bank. Now, in today's society, it becomes a little questionable. But you put money in the bank and you just believe that when you go there the next morning, that money is going to be there. Right? That's faith. You get married until death do you part. And that's faith that you're going to get married till death do you part. Because here's the thing. You don't know what the future holds for you. And so is faith. So many things that we do on faith. Life is no guarantee. It really isn't. And so we live by faith. But the faith isn't blind. You know, we say that, well, it's blind faith to sit on the chair. No, it's not. You've experienced this chair before. You've sat on it. And if you haven't experienced these chairs before, you've experienced ones like it, and therefore you didn't question it. Because you had the knowledge and you understood that the chair would hold you. Therefore you just sit down. And that's like when you go for a job. You know, you work all week, you have faith, you believe that at the end of the week you're going to get your paycheck. Right? You don't usually question it unless you work for the state or the government. It might become a small question nowadays, but before you would never question it. You just go to work and you just know that you're going to get your paycheck. When you got up this morning, did anybody ask or go to bed at night wondering, man, when I get up in the morning, is there going to be enough air to breathe? I mean, am I going to have enough air to function throughout the day tomorrow? No, nobody's ever asked themselves that. I don't know. Over here they're laughing. They might. But you don't ask yourself that because why? You've experienced and you have knowledge that every day you wake up, you just breathe. It's there. It's not even a question. And so faith, as you go through, you see that faith comes from some knowledge or from some understanding. And so when we see, because God set it all up that way, so as we go through this process, you're going to see with God that faith is, we can see God through His existence. through the existence of things and us. So as we go through this, I just want you to process that. Now, we're going to have some pointers to God's existence, and the first one is the existence of stuff. So you can fill it in your blank, the existence of stuff. Stuff not only happens, but stuff exists, which creates a huge problem for atheists. Because if things exist, and we had to look at the universe, and we look at, you know, if nothing exists, you don't have to explain it away. But when it exists, you have to look at it and go, okay, now I have to process this information. I have to process what's going on. And as I look through all of this, I have to give an answer for what exists. And we look out, and we see the universe exist. And we have so many philosophers and scientists and all these other crazed out people sometimes, that they want to try to explain it away. They want to explain away creation. How can you explain away creation, and how can you explain away what is so organized? I mean, everything is dependent on everything else, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But we know that when we see something that exists, there has to be a maker of it, right? If I took my watch off, listen, somebody made this watch. Now, the name on this watch is Wittenauer. And so if you look, you'll find that there's a manufacturer, there's a company by the name of Wittenauer. They manufacture watches. So we know where this came from. We know that there was a creator to it. Well, just as the universe, just as it is with this watch, it is with the universe. There's a cause and effect for everything. And that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to see some amazing things that God has done. So I want you to see the nature of stuff. The nature of stuff. That's number two. And listen, everything is, nothing was self-created, and everything is contingent on something else. Let's just look, for example, at the trees. Trees put off oxygen, right? I mean, I'm not a great scientist, but I understand that trees and plants put off oxygen for us to breathe, right? Am I accurate in saying that? Everybody pretty much knows that? I see the school teachers going, yes. Okay, I love being right. Okay, so we know trees put off oxygen, but here's the question. Trees need oxygen to live, right? Right? I mean, it can't exist without oxygen. Air? Does it need air to live? Yes? Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the thing. Yeah, carbon dioxide. So here the cars put off carbon monoxide. Okay. But here's the thing. They need air to live. So how did the tree come about, or how did the air come about to get the tree to grow, for the tree to do its job to put off air for us to breathe? See, everything is dependent on something else. Nothing created itself. And that's what we want to see. You know, we have to look at this, and we got to break it down and keep it real simple. And that's what I'm going to try and do today, is I want you to see that everything in the universe is dependent on everything else in the universe. If you look at the sun, now, the earth needs the sun, but the sun needs the solar system, and it needs gravity, and it needs all this other stuff that exists to keep the sun rotating in its axis, or on its axis, in its little pattern, its circle. Orbit, thank you. I was going to say it, but it wasn't sounding right in my head. Orbit. So it needs it there. But you know what? If it just moves a little bit one way outward, we'll freeze to death. And if it moves just a little bit inward, we'll burn up. And when I say a little bit, I'm talking fractions here. What sustains the sun in its place and allows it to orbit the earth to keep everything producing the way it should, to keep us alive, to keep the plants alive, to keep the trees alive? Nothing is self-sustained. Nothing is self-existent. Everything had to be made. Now, we're going to look at the trees, the earth, the orbit, the sun, the moon, the stars. Because you know, the moon puts off light, right? At night you can see the moon, it puts off light. But the moon doesn't even get the light from itself. Where does the moon get its light from? the sun. So the moon needs the sun to do its job. It's just, man, you see how everything works, guys? So let's pretend that this, see, some people seen a hula hoop and they thought, Pastor's going to hula hoop. Well, I would. I'd show you, but, you know, I just don't like to be a show-off, so I'm not going to do it today. And you know, I used to actually not be able to because my belly was big enough it kept pushing the thing down. Now I've lost some belly, so I actually have a chance today, but I'm still not going to do it. Okay, let's look at this right here, and let's pretend that everything in existence, as we know it, is contained within this realm, okay? Just to give you a visual. So pretend that this circle right here contains the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the solar system, the galaxies, the tree, everything you can think of that exists is all contained in this. Now, if everything is dependent on something to exist, and we've already seen that with the trees, you know, with the sun, the moon, the stars, so on and so forth, then that tells us if everything is in here, and everything is dependent on something, that it had to be created by something or someone that is not dependent on this inner circle. Does that make sense? Did I say that so everybody could understand that? Because sometimes I trip over my tongue and my brain works faster than my and I can't get it out right. So I want to make sure that I said that clearly. Everything that exists, this is just a picture, everything that exists as you know it goes into this circle. If everything is dependent on something within the circle, then that means that the creator of it is not dependent on anything in this circle. Right? Somebody say yes. Or else I'm going to threaten to turn the AC up, down. All right. So that means that for that to be created and that to work, the creator of that is not, does not fit in here. He has to be external of it. Therefore, it shows that there's a God, or at least a creator. Would you agree with me? Somebody say amen. 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 That's what I like. Okay, so we've seen that. And so by definition, whatever is outside the circle must be independent, absolutely self-caused, and self-reliant. So there has to be a creator. It couldn't have, things could not have just happened by chance. It can't. It doesn't fit. It doesn't even make sense because everything is dependent on everything else. Let's look at this Coke can. And it's still sealed up, so I didn't bring an open container in, although I am dying of thirst right now, and I'm hot, but I want you guys comfortable today. And so let's look at this Coke can. Now, I had to write this down because as I was processing it, I knew I could never say it again the way that, you know, you think about it, and if you don't write it down, you lose it. Okay, well, I lose a lot of stuff if I don't write it down. So we're going to look at this Coke can, and we're just going to have a little bit of fun with it. Millennia ago, an incredible Big Bang came out of nothing and nowhere and sent a massive rock spinning through space. As it cooled down, a brown, sweet, bubbly liquid formed on its surface. As time passed, aluminum crept out of the water and shaped itself into just these dimensions, which just happened to be the right shape and size for a human hand, which would be developed a few million years later. Over time, this thing formed itself as one-time retractable lid. Right there. And out of it grew the pool tab. You guys are believing me on this. You're with me, right? Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's with me. Centuries later, red and white paint. See the red and white paint? Fell from the sky and clung to this thing, forming the letters C-O-C-A-C-O-L-A, Coca-Cola. I'm just telling you guys how this thing came into existence. Obviously, these letters have a deeper meaning to them because you see them everywhere. And if you think about it, it goes even deeper than that. Because through time and process and everything, they even put a trademark on it. Little trademark symbol or logo on it. And I think, what do they call this thing? It's everybody's choice or something like that. What's their little slogan? I don't know Coca-Cola's slogan. They've changed it so many times, who knows? All right. So anyway, it's been around for ages, right? How many here would believe me, or how can I scientifically prove to you that this can just created itself? Would anybody in here believe me? Oh, you guys are good. I'm glad I didn't see any hands go up. You don't think it happened by chance? Come on, it's so perfect. It holds the liquid it's supposed to hold. It fits in our hand. It's just the right size for a little bit of sweetness and the liquid that we're looking for to kind of quench our thirst. I'm really getting thirsty actually holding this thing. And it didn't happen just by chance. No. Guys, listen. Nothing in this world has happened by chance. Is God real? Absolutely, He's real. Guys, if you process the information, you have to come to the conclusion. Because if you believe that a little amoeba started out and it grew and it got a tail and its tail fell off because it didn't need it anymore, I'm still wondering where everything else that has tails needed it if the other one lost its tail. And then look at this just for a moment, guys. Let's look at this just for a moment and think about this. When you think about evolution, what happens? Evolution says that when it lives, or when it's created, that it grows. The strong survive and the weak die off, right? Is that evolution, pretty much, in a nutshell? Why is it that everything in existence, everything, without exception, everything grows old and dies? Nothing goes on, nothing continues on. Everything grows old and it dies. Why is that? Because evolution doesn't exist. It can't exist. Evolution, by definition, is a religion. Do you know that? If you look it up. So just like this can, guys, we didn't just happen. Now let's look at this apple. I was originally going to use a banana, and today we didn't actually have any on the shelf, so I called Linda and asked her if she'd bring me a nice red apple. And I haven't had breakfast yet, so now this apple's really looking good. But let's look at this apple just for a second. It didn't just happen, guys. Let's look at it. It fits her hand pretty good. It's amazing that when it was made, that it was made with a purpose. Not just to be red and look pretty, but it actually takes care of our needs. If you eat the apple, it's full of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, salt, whatever it is full of. And so you eat it, and it actually takes care of us. It's amazing how the apple was created to take care of something else, being us. All of it, which points to a loving God. Now, understand that this apple has a process. First, it starts out as being green and bitter, and then it reaches this nice stage here where you're ready to eat it, and then it reaches the point where it's brown and mushy and it's too late. Okay, you don't want to eat it. But here's the amazing thing about this apple. Nothing else can grow an apple but an apple from seed, right? I mean, you can't take a pear or a banana, you can't mix all this up and get an apple. You just can't do it. But the amazing thing about this apple is that it goes to brown and it rots and it goes back into the ground and it hits into the soil. Then there's what? There's seeds in this. And those seeds will germinate and they'll grow another apple tree, which puts off a whole bunch more apples. It's an amazing thing, but nothing else can do that. Except for what it is, whether it's strawberries or an apple or a pear or a peach or whatever. How many have heard the scientist got into an argument with God? And scientists said, look, we can do everything that you can do. You made a person, look, we can clone a person. You do this, we can do everything that you can do. And God says, okay, I'll tell you what. Let's start all over from the very beginning. And we're going to make man. And we're going to make him out of dirt. Scientist says, no problem. So God reaches down and gets a handful of dirt. Scientist reaches down and gets a handful of dirt. And God says, hold on. You get your own dirt. See, listen, we can't do anything without what's existing. And that's why when we think that God doesn't exist, we're fooling ourselves. We live in a fantasy land or a dream world, because I want you to see that the order of things, everything that's going on, it points to a creator. It absolutely points to a creator. We can't hide it or get around it in any way, shape, or form. Now, we can completely deny it. Absolutely, we can deny it. That's not an issue. We deny a lot of things. But we can't, in reality, deny that we have a creator. I'm trying to keep up with my notes and keep up with what you're filling in. And so we have the existence of stuff, the nature of stuff, right? Right? Do we have that? Okay. And then we're going to be going into the my sense of right and wrong. But before we go into that, there's one more verse I want you to see, and that's Romans 1:20. And you should have that in your notes, the nature of stuff. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even God says, you know what? You can look around and you can see everything I've done. You can look at the skies. You can look at the heavens. You can look at the trees. You can look at it. Just look around and you see me. I think that's amazing. God says, you look around, you see me, and you know what? If you don't believe, it doesn't matter, because you are without excuse. Because people ask all the time, well, what about those that are out in some distant swamp land and nobody, they've never heard the name Jesus, they've never seen Jesus, no missionaries ever. You're going to tell me that a God, a loving God, this creator of the world that you're saying, is going to send them to hell if they don't receive Christ? That's what the Bible says. And you go, well, that's not fair, and how does God get around that? That's a good question, isn't it? How many want to know the answer to that question? All right, study it out. Come back. Here's what happens. And you look all throughout the Bible, as you read the Bible, and I know everybody in here studies the Bible. You read through the Bible and you look at it. And God says that if there's somebody, and it's all throughout. I mean, there are people that were wondering about God. You look at the centurion in the New Testament. And it says that he was a religious man. A religious man. But obviously he didn't know God. We know this as we read the scriptures. And so you know what he did though? He started praying. He just started praying for God to reveal himself. And you know what God did? He sent Peter. He sent Peter to a Gentile. That's funny in and of itself, if you understand Peter. To Peter, a Gentile was like handling a pork or something. You just didn't do that. You know, he was a Jew, and he was a clean Jew, and to touch a Gentile is unclean. And so Peter's freaking out here that he's actually got to go to the Gentile. But what happened to the centurion? God sent a man to tell him about Jesus. The man repented, receives Christ, and he's going to heaven. We look through the Old Testament, and time again, God would send angels with the message. By the way, angel means messenger. And so God would send angels with the message to tell the people that we're looking for the answer. And so God is not going to leave anybody destitute or without. But if they don't believe that there was a creator, they're not looking for God. So if somebody's looking for, or they have questions, God's going to take care of them. He doesn't leave any of them just to die and go to hell. He said, I would have that all men, that's what that men literally means humans, if you look it up in the Greek, to have everlasting life. I would have none to perish. That none means none. Zero. And so God says, you know what? You have to, in Romans 1:20, he says that for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That's amazing to me. His eternal power and Godhead. We're talking about the Trinity here. I'm not even going to throw you guys into that. But you're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. He says, you can see me in everything. And if you don't, you're without excuse. Okay, and so here's the third pointer to the existence of God, my sense of right and wrong. How many of you were watching the process of bringing in the lady judge? Oh, her name just left me. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, Sonia Sotomayor. Thank you. Going through the whole process, we're talking morals here. The no right and wrong. And everything she stands for in the Christian world, and I'm not knocking anybody, I'm just using this as an example. If you compare what she stands for, her decisions, her beliefs, with the Bible, man, her morals are way off. Way off. And I struggled with them. But you know, it's an amazing thing. Yes. Go get them. Why do we get worked up over what's right and wrong? We were talking about in Sunday school HR1R virus shot. What is it? Help me out. H1N1. You guys knew where I was at. That's all that matters. Okay. Swine flu shot. And we were talking about, you know, it hasn't been approved by FDA. There's a lot of things wrong with this shot, and yet people are being forced to take this shot. Forced, or they lose their job. To us, that is just wrong. Why do we get infuriated with this? Why do we get infuriated when people steal? Or why do we get infuriated when we're forced to do something that's not right? You know, I don't know if you guys keep up with the news, but we have the hate crimes bill is on the table, and it's on the table strong. And that hate crimes bill says that if I get up here and preach against homosexuality, that it's a hate crime, and I can do 10 years prison for that. Well, it looks like I'll be starting a prison ministry because I have to preach the Word of God. And why do we get so angry when we're forced to do something that's wrong? It's morals. Well, where do morals come from, guys? Everyone has a sense of right and wrong. Everyone. The Bible says it's within every man. And the thought of God is within every man. So where do we get our sense of morals or our direction from? It can't be from within. You know, it's an amazing thing. Anthropologists tell us that is a universal phenomenon, that every person has a sense of right and wrong. Morals vary from person to person and culture to culture, but every person has them. And even more than that, how many times have you went to do something and your every part of your being says, don't do it, it's wrong, but you turn around and you ignore that and you do it anyway. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, everybody's been there. That's an amazing thing. And anthropologists tell us that there's a universal phenomenon as well. That all people admit that they have within them a moral standard and that they haven't lived up to their moral standard because their moral standard is actually higher than they are. Your moral standard is higher than you are. My moral standard is higher than I am. What does that mean? And if it's higher than us, where did it come from? It couldn't have come from within. If it's higher than us, we didn't create it. It had to come from somewhere. Well, who has a moral standard higher than people? God. How many are warm? Okay, turn it back up just a notch. We're going to balance the room out. We're going to go up and down. We're going to be a yo-yo today with the temperature. And so the anthropologists say that that's a phenomenon. How could that be? Because our morals don't come from within, which means our idea of right and wrong don't come from within. There has to be another place it comes from. Just like the creator of everything in this cannot fit in this, it has to be outside of it, our morals within us don't fit within us. It has to have come from somewhere else, our higher morals. It's a process, guys, and everything points to a higher being. Everything points to a creator. Everything. And so for us to think that God is not real, we're fooling ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. We were talking about evil and good in Sunday school class this morning. And I was sharing how people don't believe there's a heaven and a hell. That they just believe that, you know, it's made up stories, fictitious or whatever. But once again, where does all this information come from? It doesn't come from within. It comes from a source without. And heaven and hell, listen, oh, by the way, and this is amazing too. People say, well, I believe there's a heaven, but I don't believe there's a hell. Who are you to choose what you want? This isn't a buffet. If heaven's real, hell has to be real. And if hell is not real, heaven cannot be real. It's not up to us. Listen, it all comes from something greater than us and greater than the universe, guys. There has to be a God. You cannot explain it any other way. You can't explain how the morals within us are higher than what we actually live. You can't explain it. You can't explain how the tree puts off oxygen for us to breathe. It creates the air that we breathe. But where did it get its start from to get the oxygen it needed to breathe to live? You see what I'm saying? We can't pick and choose what we want to believe to be truth and a lie. We can't do that. Either it's truth or it's a lie. And if everything points to it, and it listen, there has been times, and I'm sure in each and every one of our lives, where we believe something, and somebody else said, no, that's not how it is. And they explain it, and our mind just can't grab it. You ever been there? And you're like, no, I'm sorry, I can't believe that. It doesn't fit for me. And so they go through another process. When I was self-employed, I sold a business in North Carolina. I started a new business when I moved to Missouri to go to Bible college. And I did all this work for the guy, and I knew that he was hurting. He was a college student as well. And he had two kids, and they were really struggling. And so what I did is I helped him out, and I did like $2,000 worth of work on his car, but I only charged him $1,200. And when I gave him the bill, he didn't say anything. And he was supposed to pay me at the end of the week. And so at the end of the week, I went up to him, and I asked him about it, and he said, well, John, I don't owe you this money. I've been down this road before. We're going to talk about this. And I said, well, why don't you owe me this money? Well, I just don't owe you this money. You have way overcharged me. $1,200. I put struts all the way around his car. I put brakes all the way around his car, and I tuned it up. $1,200. Anybody that has a car knows that was dirt cheap. It was almost parts. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. So I was like, man, you need to pay this bill, right? One thing leads to another. And he's like, well, we need to get somebody in here to talk with. So he wants to get the president of the college involved in this. And I'm going, are you crazy? We're not going to get the president. So he gets one of the counselors. One of the men counselors involved in it, and we sit down, we're having a meeting, and he looks at this list, and he looks at Chad, and he goes, Chad, you owe John the money. And he goes, no, I don't. And he says, well, Chad, did you agree to have this done? Yes. Did you agree to have this done? Yes. Did you agree to have this done? Yes. It goes all the way down the list. He goes, well, then you owe him the money. No, I don't. So he backs up and he says, okay, did he tell you he was going to do it for this amount? Yes. Three times he literally, I kid you not, he had to tell this story or ask the question in three different ways, which I thought he was very creative in the way he handled it all, because he reworded his question in three different ways. Finally, the third time, by this time, I'm just irritated to the max. You know what I'm saying? I've just wasted an hour and a half of trying to get this guy to understand he owes the money. The third time he reworded it, and the guy just starts breaking down. And he starts crying right there. And he goes, John, I owe you the money. Well, by this time, I have no compassion. I don't care if you're crying or not. I said, just cut me a check. That's all I want so I can get out of here. I had no compassion on him. But it took three times, rewording it three ways, it finally clicked in his brain. Sometimes that's how we are with things of God or nature or the creation of everything. We go, it just can't be. No, it is. You have to, no, it can't be. And then one day God just pricks your heart, and it's like he turns the light bulb on, and you realize you owe God the money. And that's what happens here, guys. We can't explain it, but God says that's what it is. Look here in Romans 2, 14 through 15. It says, even when Gentiles who do not have God's written law instinctively follow what the law says. Now we know that happens. And when he's talking about Gentiles, people not of God. That's what he's talking about. Follow what the law, they instinctively follow what the law says. They show that in their hearts they know right from wrong. They demonstrate that God's law is written within them. For their own consciences either accuse them or tell them they are doing what's right. It's within us, guys, but it's not from us, it's from God. We have to acknowledge it. We have to look at it. If we don't, we are kidding ourselves. I want you to know that the apple, the morals show us there's a God. The apple shows us there's a loving God who wants to take care of us. The hula hoop shows that God controls everything. We have to look that God is real. We have to pay attention to that. And you guys are going to be so happy that I forgot two pages of my notes. So we'll end it right there. I'm looking at them. Actually, on my next sermon, I'm going, that isn't right. Guys, when we look at everything that I just talked about, and that's all I want you to do, is just look at it. And I know today was a bunch of little facts and stuff put together, but you know, if we're going to answer the God questions, is God real? There is no other way to look at it but to go through the process. And there's no other way to see God except for being real, because we can't explain anything any other way than if you go into Genesis and read the Bible. It clearly explains what happened, when it happened, how it happened, and it lines up. There is no other way. Nobody's come up with anything else to explain it without creating a mass amount of questions that they can't explain. It comes down to faith, guys. Faith in a real God. Faith in a God that loves us, in a God that created us, in a God that created everything around us so that we could be sustained by Him. This is the God I'm talking about. And if you don't know that God, I'm going to encourage you today. If nothing else, do like the centurion did and just start praying, God, if you're real, show yourself. But if you believe what I've said, then you have to believe that God is real, and you have to believe that God created you, and you have to believe that God created the universe. Now the next question is, what are you going to do with that God? Are you going to leave Him there? Or are you going to accept Him as your Savior? Are you just going to take this information and do nothing with it? Or are you going to realize that your Creator loves you and wants a relationship with you? It really comes down to your decision, because God's already made His. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know that you're going to heaven, I want to share with you how you can receive Christ as your Savior and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home. If you believe what I've said today, that all our evidence points to God, points to a Creator, and you want heaven as your home, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you created this world. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you sustain me. And today, right now, because I believe you love me and you want a relationship with me, right now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul. If that is your heart's desire, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you asked Christ to come into your heart, would you raise your hand?